So, don't be touching my stuff. Don't be touching my stuff. Okay. So I need 10 volunteers. Okay, 10 volunteers. 10 volunteers. Don't worry. This will not require a major headache. Just a minor headache. Okay. Minor headache. Okay. So my volunteers, I'll point to you, and I need you to go over that corner. Okay. So Brady, you're one. Ken, you're two. You'll be thankful for this. Go ahead, you two or three and four. That's great. Jordan, you're five. Go ahead, Miss Cassida, you're six. You're seven. Max, you're eight. And Sean, you're nine. Dorothy, you're already up. Amber, you're ten. Go ahead. Okay, so I should have 10 volunteers over there, right? Okay. Ready? One, two, three, four. Okay. Now, I'm going to start us off. I'm going to read. Hey, need your attention? Turn this way. Here we go. Eyes this way. Okay, start off. I'm reading a story out of Matthew chapter 20. Okay? It says this. For the kingdom of heaven, where I'm going to pause there, okay? This story, Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking about God's kingdom. You need to keep this in mind about the moral of the story. And when he's talking about God's kingdom, he's talking about the way God rewards. He's talking about our eternal life in heaven for those who believe. He's talking about that sort of thing. You got to keep that in mind. That's his major purpose, is he wants to teach them something about God's kingdom here, okay? So, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers from the vineyard. Okay, I want to hire some laborers from the vineyard, and I'm starting early in the morning. Early in the morning, so come here, Jordan Brady, come here. Jordan Brady, come here. There, it's 6 a.m. I'm coming out here, getting some laborers. Go get, you're my 6 a.m. crew. Take that, Jordan. Put that on, and go over to the couches, and go. I need you to be laboring hard. I mean, you're working in my vineyard. Pluck some grapes. Get lots of grapes, okay? You're plucking grapes. You're working hard. They're just going to be over there working for a while. So when the laborers, when he agreed with the laborers, and he agrees here for a denarius for the day, that's, you could assume that's like $200. So a denarius is a day's wage, and he's like, hey, I've agreed to pay you $200 to go work in the field for a day. He sent them into his vineyard. Okay, now, you guys keep working, work hard, work hard, don't stop working, don't stop working. Hey, Robbie, you can't sit there. You got to keep working. Okay, so verse 3 says, and he went out about the third hour is around 9 a.m., I see some other people standing idle. Mr. Bradley, Amber, come here. And I say to them, hey, go work in my vineyard. Go work. I'll pay you some money. What? Go work. And he said, go also into my vineyard, and whatever's right, I'll give to you. So they went. Okay. So I got some more people working hard. We're in verse 5. He went in again about the 6th hour and the 9th hour, and he did the same thing. Okay. So 6 hour is around noon. Okay. I need my noon workers. Sean, Becca, come here. You're my noon workers. Okay, go ahead, go work. It's noon, go work. Work hard, Becca. You better be laboring. Labor hard over there. I'm going out the 9th hour. 9th hour's at 3 o'clock. Tori, Max, come here. Okay, it's 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. Work hard. Go. Okay, so I found them, and they're working. Now, then it comes to the 11th hour. 11th hour is around 5 p.m. And he comes, and he sees some people there, and he's like, why have you been standing here idle all day? And they said to him, and he said, yeah, go too into my vineyard. Okay, so go. It's only 5 p.m. It's only an hour. Go do some work. And they're all over working. They're working hard. Brady, you better be working. Why are you just messing around? Work hard. Work hard. Okay. So they're working hard. They're working hard. Working hard. Good job. Good job. Thank you for working. Now, when the evening came, the owner of the vineyard, that's me because I'm in charge of this operation, said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group first. So I need you guys to come right here, line up in reverse order, line up in reverse order, 5 p.m., then 3 p.m., etc. Okay? Line up in reverse order, stop right here. Now, okay? Now, they've lined up, okay, I got my 5, 3s, etc. Okay, and verse 7, when those hired about the 11th hour, they came and each one received a denarii. Now, remember, denarii was what he had promised the people who came at 6 a.m. They had come, and it didn't matter how long they worked, but the people came at 5 and said, thank you for working hard in my vineyard today. Good job. I know you only worked an hour, but you get a denarii. Go ahead, enjoy, and you're done for the day. Good job. Good job. And then, he did this in the reverse order. He says, when those who he hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each one also received an denarii. Okay, 3 p.m. people, good job. Thanks for working 3 hours today. Thanks for working 3 hours today. I appreciate it. Appreciate it. Okay, my next group, come on down. Hey, thanks for working 6 hours today. Thanks for working 6 hours today. Great job. Great job. I appreciate it. But these little 9 a.m. people and the 6 a.m. people, come on, 9 a.m. people. Here you go. Here you go, 9 a.m. people. Good job. Now, 6 a.m. people, come here. Come here. Come here. Now, that is Brady. So, read verse 12. It says, when they received it, they grumbled to the landowner, and they said, 12, saying, what do you say? Burden. And he's like, you make a good complaint. I mean, you worked 12 whole hours. Okay, work with me here, Brady. You guys worked your, you worked 12 hours. These other people worked 1 hour. 12 hours, 1 hour. But hey, we agreed at the beginning of the day you'd get a denarii, and so here's a denarii. Take it. You can go to your seat. And Jesus says, but he answered, and he said to one of them, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. I'm doing anything wrong here. Did you not agree to work with me for a denarii? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful? Or am I not allowed for me to do what I wish with my own money? He's like, I can do. I'm in charge here. Why are you complaining and saying that I can't do what I want with my own money? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? And this is a point that he repeats several times in this passage. He says, so the last shall be first and the first last. See, bottom line of what God says here, when it comes down to who gets into heaven and who doesn't, there will be times where we're like, that's just not fair. There are some people that have done tons of things for God and have lived really good and moral lives, been kind to people, shared what they had, been nice, great people. And they get in. That's great. And we're like, yeah, I deserve it. Be like Brady. He's worked 12 hours for me. And then be some other people. Who are my 5 p.m. people again? There, okay. There'll be some other people like Miss Cassida here, who's kind of done some sketchy things. And you're like, yeah, really? She's making it in? I don't know. Why he's letting her in? And Miss Wimpany, I don't know if I would have let her. I think we all hate this story. We don't like that concept because it's just not fair. And in this passage, again, Jesus is speaking directly to his disciples. And it's right after they had come to him and said, "Hey, Jesus, we've given up everything. Don't we get a little extra bonuses here?" And he's like, "You'll be rewarded in heaven." And right after this passage, they're going to start arguing about who's going to be the greatest in heaven, who's going to be top dog. And Jesus' key point here is the last will be first and the first last. And what he's saying is, in my kingdom, there will be things of my generosity towards you that are just not fair in your eyes. Just not fair. My point is, God's salvation is by grace, through faith, through what I believe. And sometimes I'm going to be annoyed. Why is God blessing this person? Why do things go well for this person? And they're acting like a jerk, and I am doing everything right. So, today, with that story in mind, I want to talk about probably one of the most prevalent idols I see in my life. It's a little harder of an idol for us to see a lot. Today, I want to talk about entitlement, okay? And you probably were wondering, why was Aaron such a jerk that he made the boys not get donuts when they came in here? And it was amazing. I just put up a little sign. All I did was put up a little sign that says, "Guys, no donuts. Donuts are for girls today." And the number of people that came up to me, "That's not fair. I don't like that. I'm mad. I'm frustrated. I can't believe you would do such a jerky thing to us today. I'm going to totally skirt and avoid your system, Aaron. So I'm going to go into the senior eye room and get donuts. I'm going to go up to my dad's office and get donuts. Good work, Max. Get some sugar." Whatever it is, we find some way. I mean, the complaints and the frustrations over just, "You're not giving me my donuts, man." And it's this right. What I mean by entitlement is something that we are claiming as a right. This is something that I deserve that you cannot deprive from me. I mean, it's something that I have the right to do. And maybe as a police officer, if I have my lights on and my police cruiser, I have the right to drive through red lights. But you and I, if you're driving, your mom's driving your car, or dad's driving your car, you do not have the right to drive through red lights. Maybe other rights you think of the Bill of Rights, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, right to bear arms. Maybe you want to say your rights are, I have the right to do whatever I want with my time. It's my time. Don't tell me what I'm supposed to do. Maybe you say, I have the right to certain possessions. I have the right to have my cell phone or whatever. I have my rights. We have a lot of things that we claim as rights that we are entitled to. So what I want you to do, real quick, as a table, just maybe on the back of some sheet of paper, just come up with a list. What are possessions, privileges, and opportunities you feel you are entitled to? You got about 5 minutes. Make a quick list for me. Go. No, Brian. You can wait. Go sit down. No. Go sit down. Okay. Go ahead, turn your tables or your chairs back this direction. You could turn it, but anyway. Okay. If I have your attention, this direction. Mr. Brown, sit up. Okay. So, you probably saw from that, there are a lot of things that I would say that we feel very entitled to, okay? Just want to talk through a few of those with you today. First of all, is in the area of stuff, the things that we have, you know, whether it's the simple practical things it's okay. I know some people don't like the word stuff. Possessions, if we want to be more proper. In terms of the things that we have, I mean, there's the basic necessities of food, clothing, etc., that we feel entitled to. But then, I think it gets a lot deeper than that. For us, it's like, hey, I am entitled to a cell phone. Let's be honest. Maybe it's not an iPhone 5, but I'm entitled. I cannot, if you don't have a cell phone, you're like, I can't believe my parents have deprived me of a cell phone. And if you have a cell phone, you're like, if I ever lost this thing, you know, my life, I need attention. Okay. Maybe it's not cell phones. Maybe it's I have the right to the latest fashions in clothes. I mean, we had our fashion show, and you're like, I gotta have these nice clothes. And, I mean, don't give me any hand-me-downs or anything like that. Mom, you better be buying me don't give me, like, Walmart brand of anything like that. I need the nice brands of all of the latest clothes. Maybe the stuff is I need all the latest sporting equipment for the sports that I play. I need new uniforms, new bats, new balls, new of all that sort of stuff. These are rights that I have. I need the latest video game, video game systems. You know, Mom and Dad, I mean, I'm frustrated. I only got one video game for Christmas, and I should have gotten at least three video games for Christmas. We're on the thing of possessions. You're like, I don't care as much about video games, but we need the nicest plasma TV. And, ooh, you should take me on vacations. Fireworks. No. Shh. Okay. And we look through all these things and say, yeah, you know, I have a right to that, I have a right to that. But I know I use this statistic a lot, but over half the world lives on less than $2.50 a day. It's like $900 and something per year. Over 80% of the world lives on less than $10 a day. And that cell phone that I think is my right, that costs about $600 a year to have between buying the phone and paying the data plan. For most cell phones, around $600 a year for your phone. That, and other people are living off of $900 a year. So, I mean, that leaves, you have $300 and something left to buy food. I mean, that'll buy you about 40 Chipotle burritos. Okay, you have 40 Chipotle burritos. That's all the food you get for the whole year. So you have that right to the cell phone. You get 40 Chipotle burritos. That's all the food you have all year. And my point is simply this. These things, possessions, that we claim as rights. Can you imagine going to a world country and saying, yeah, I mean, I have the right to these things. I'd be like, we live off of $2.50 a day. What are you doing? I mean, what are you doing claiming that you have a right to have a $3,000 plasma TV in your house? Our country, and you look like an idiot if you went to a third world country and said that. And our country is huge on entitlement programs. Ladies, this way, thank you. Our country is huge on entitlement programs, whether it's giving out money, healthcare, education, etc., to everyone. And if we don't have the things that we want and we have things that we need, we blame someone else. I mean, if I don't have these latest toys, it's either parents don't have them, it's the government's fault, or it's their boss's fault, someone else's fault for that. And it doesn't matter if I've been totally lazy or ignored my responsibilities, it's someone else's fault that I don't have these things, because they're my right that I have. Or we can look in other areas. That's just stuff. We look at time. According to the latest Nielsen study, the average American watches 4 hours of television or has some sort of 4 hours of screen time per day. That's 28 hours per week. That's 2 months of nonstop TV watching per year. And over a course of a 65-year life, that is 9 straight years watching TV. That's the average American. And I know a lot of you are like, I don't watch that much TV. And I mean, let's be honest, then you have those Saturdays where you've watched two movies and all that. I wouldn't be surprised if the average person here in this room was watching 4 hours of TV a day, or 4 hours. You can throw in video games. If I combine TV and video games and YouTube, you're easily at 4 hours a day. Maybe my point is simply this. We don't like people telling us what to do with our time. We want to own our own time. I'm entitled to my own time. But imagine, I used to work in an engineering firm before I started working here. If I went to my boss in my engineering firm and he said, Aaron, I need you to do this project for me now. And I said, no, I'm not going to do this project right now that you told me to do, because it's my time and I just want to play this video game here at work, I'd be fired. How on earth would I be able to claim that as my right? And I think God has given us missions, purposes here on this earth, and 4 hours of TV a day is not one of those things. And I look at history, most kids in history and around the world, they're working full time by age 7 to 12. And if we're saying, oh, I have the right to my time, we're idiots. We look like total fools. I'm not entitled to my time. Maybe, there's me watching, there's someone watching TV. Maybe we look at the area of opportunities. Mom and Dad, I don't want to just play rec league. I am entitled to play on my travel soccer team because I want to be in the best leagues. And even though it costs a couple extra grand to play, I mean, that's my right to play in my travel soccer league. Maybe I have the right to a good education. I have the right to go to college. And government, you should be paying for me to go to college. And if I don't get an opportunity to go, I mean, that is my God-given right to go to college. Things like that, we claim it. We claim as rights. We claim as rights the opportunity to a good job. And again, if I compare myself to the rest of the world, the opportunities you have just to even go to school, much less the opportunities you have to go to college and the job opportunities you have, you are amazingly blessed. And this area of entitlement, honestly, it not only makes you look silly compared to the rest of the world, it even makes you silly when you work. Here's a story for you. So I'm working at this engineering firm, right? And there's a girl there who was worked at our company for 1 year, right out of college. She was right out of college, and she'd been there 1 year, okay? And after 1 year there, she claimed that she was entitled to start managing a $5 million a year contract, or a $5 million total contract. Because she's like, I'm amazing. I mean, I've got good skills. I can do everything. I mean, my parents have always told me I'm amazing and I can do anything. I always got a trophy at every sports thing I did. I mean, I'm a good person. I have a right to this. I have a right to this. And my point is, you're going into school and say, I have the right to this education to get good grades. And you end up looking like a fool when you claim your opportunities are rights. Okay, staring contest can end. Thank you. Next, we think we have the right to affirmation. We're convinced that everyone should tell us how awesome we are. This is most demonstrated when it comes to trophies. I mean, doesn't matter. At the end of the year, your sports team, doesn't matter. won any games that year. I had teams that we did not win a single, or we won one game the whole year. We still all got trophies. And then the coach is giving out the end of the season awards, and they gives out some award to every player. And it's like, most improved second baseman who caught a fly ball on a Tuesday. And they're like, yeah, there's your award. Good job. I mean, they're making up some way to say that you are the best. I mean, there was a year when I was playing baseball. And I don't know what was wrong with me this year, but this was Coach Fitch baseball, right? So, the coaches were just trying to toss him in there. It's so nice. And there was like five games straight that I struck out every time I was at the plate. And people were like, oh, you're doing great. No, I wasn't doing great. I stunk. I mean, let's get over it. Sometimes you just stink at a sport, and that's okay. But instead of this, it's like, yeah, you're amazing. We love you. Yay. I mean, it's like Paula Abdul on American Idol. She's like, you sang your heart out. It was awful, but you sang your heart out. Anyway. And we do this throughout our society, these affirmations. I love this cartoon here. I love this cartoon because it says so much about our society these days. 1960. Kid comes home with an F report card. Parents blame the kid. Like, how could you have these Fs? That's awful. 2010. These grades are terrible. You don't blame the kid anymore. You blame the teacher. Your teachers are blamed for ridiculous amounts of things of how their problem, it's all their problem. And that's why we have all the grade inflation and all that sort of stuff. Because everyone's got to know how amazing you are. You got to hold on, man. Sorry. Again, we're in a society where everyone's wonderful. Just believe in yourself. And, anything you can think about, you'll achieve, blah, 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 blah. You don't need to work hard. You just should be given the opportunity. Here's this next one. Is one that I see a lot in my life in particular. And it's, I'm entitled to my moods. I'm tired. Been a long day today. I've worked really hard. Maybe I've done a lot of homework, or I've done a lot of work. I've cared for my kids a lot today. And it's okay that I'm grouchy. I have the right to disrespect my parents. I have the right to not do what I have the right to not do with my responsibilities, because I've already worked hard. And you start blaming other people. Man, if you worked harder, then my life wouldn't stink so bad. And that grumpiness of, I just have the right to be grumpy at you. It doesn't matter. I have the right to be annoyed and tired and frustrated because I've worked hard. And when I bottom line this idol, my idol in this isn't as much entitlement. My idol is me. I bow down and I worship me. I'm mad that the whole rest of the world isn't bowing down and worshiping me, because I am amazing. Seriously, I'm amazing. Why aren't you guys worshiping me more? Give me more presents and tell me how awesome I am. And we have made ourselves an idol. And I do the exact same thing in my spiritual life. I say, God, I've done all these amazing things. I'm not a bad person like these people are bad people. I've read your Bible. I pray to you. I go to church on Sundays. I've respected my parents. I've been the good little girl or the good little boy. And my life isn't how I want it to be. God, you're entitled to make my life better because I have been a good person. And I come to God and claim that it's my right that He treats me the way that I want Him to. And I just really challenge you. We live in all the studies that are out there, we live in one of the most entitled societies that have ever existed. Most encouraged societies that have ever existed, affirmed societies. Yet all of the studies show that we are more affirmed, but we are less happy. Because the thing is, when I think that I'm entitled to something, when I claim something is my right, don't get the happiness from it. I'm not thankful for it because it's just simply my right. Looking back at the passage here, the people who worked from 6 a.m. all day long, did they get what they agreed to? Yeah, Brady got what he agreed to.
Chocolate,
amen. But they're mad. Why were they mad? Because they saw other people and they think they were entitled to more. They started to play the comparison game, and here's the problem. Anytime we start playing the comparison game of like, this person has this and I don't have that, and their parents give them an iPhone and I only got this little flip phone, or I don't even get any sort of phone. Anytime we start playing a comparison game, I'm not thankful. The guys in this passage were not thankful, even though they got exactly what they deserved. I put out donuts, and there was no, when I deprived you of donuts this morning, there was no like, well, I'm thankful that you make sure that there's donuts provided every other morning. I guess I can live without it one morning. It was, no, why are you depriving of my right? I'm not thankful for things if they are my rights. I don't enjoy the things that if I claim them as my rights. And bottom line, it's just plain sin when I come to God and say, God, I deserve this from you. Okay, I know you have a lot of things to say, Brady, but I need three last volunteers for one last analogy here. Three volunteers. Okay. Come on up here, Mr. Brown. Come on up here. Help me out. And one last volunteer. Come on up here, Mr. Peterson. Okay. First of all, the three of you. I have three of you. However, I only have one apple. Okay? Do you like apples? Do you like apples? Okay. You like apples. Okay. If I just gave you this apple, would you be happy? Yeah. You'd be happy? I mean, would you be thankful? I gave you an apple. You like apples, right? Okay. You would be happy if I gave you an apple, right? Okay. So, I'm going to give you this apple. You're happy. You're excited. You got an apple. You like apples, right? Okay. Okay. He's happy that he got an apple. Okay. Great. Now, I have a bag of Hershey's Kisses. Whole bag of Hershey's Kisses. Would you like this bag of Hershey Kisses? Yeah, look at this face. Look at this face. Now, I am going to give you a bag of Hershey's Kisses. And look at how excited he is. Now, okay, now, how do you feel that he just got Hershey Kisses and you got an apple?
Sad.
Now, before, 30 seconds ago, before I gave that out, you were pretty excited that you got an apple, right?
Yeah.
And now, are you excited about your apple?
Not so much.
Sorry. Okay, now you got your Hershey Kisses, still really excited, right? Okay, well, it's good to be last. Okay, good to be last, because for you, I have a $20 bill. So, Robbie, how do you feel about your Hershey Kisses? You're still pretty excited. Would you rather have a $20 bill? Oh, okay, you're weird. Okay, a lot of other people would rather have that. Now that she got a $20 bill, he got Hershey Kisses, and you got an apple. How do you feel about your apple? I'm sorry. You can take a seat now. Here, I do love you. How's it, man? Okay. Yep, she got to keep it. Yeah, she got to keep it. Okay, moral of this. Now everyone's like, unfair. She got $20. I didn't get my $20. Oh my goodness. I told you. I know you got a Hershey bar. Yeah, now you want the $20. Now everyone wants the $20. Here you go. Listen up. then you're like, that's my right. That's what I deserve. And you go to other cultures, you go around to other cultures in this world, and they have nothing. And they're happy with their nothing. And then they see what people have in the other part of the world, and they're like, we're not content with our nothing anymore. We've got to have more. We have to have more and more and more. And do you see how offensive that is when you're saying, you've given me all these other things, but I don't care about what you've given me. I just think you're a jerk now. I mean, now people are going to be like, Aaron's a jerk. Yeah, gave out a $20 bill, but not to me. I mean, I can't believe him. He gave out chocolate to Robbie. Mr. Peterson just got a lousy apple. I mean, I just got a chocolate bar earlier. I mean, it's lousy. Do you see the way that your entitlement, your claiming things as rights, has robbed you of joy? And can you go to God and say, God, you've died for me on a cross. You gave me eternal life. But I wanted more. Why are you just giving me, not eternal life. I mean, it's just, that's nothing. I want something better. I want a life right now. And I throw it in your face and say, God, I don't care about the life you gave me. And now, here we go. Just three quick ways I would say that you can take this and you can apply it to your life. First of all, will I really stop and will I understand the gift of salvation? Will I understand what God has given me? That's the whole point of his parable. Understand that God has blessed you not based on what you've done. Why I love Ephesians 2:8-9. Ephesians 2 has already said, I was dead, I had no hope, but for by grace you have been saved, through faith. This is not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, not a result of anything you can do. God has given us eternal life by faith, by believing in what he's done, not based on anything that we can do. And when I understand that, I should have joy, not this like, whatever, God, you gave me eternal life. Will I second realize that everything I have is a gift from God? Story of Job real quick. There's a guy named Job. He has a lot of money, a lot of kids, a lot of all these cool things. Then all in one day, all of that is taken away from him. His sheep, his goats, his camels all get either killed or destroyed or something. His kids all die. And this is what he says at the end of when everything happens to him. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. Naked I'll basically die. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is where we get the song, Blessed Be Your Name. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. And he didn't blame God because he realized everything that he had was because God gave it to him. Every piece of clothes that you have, the fact that you have a roof over your head, every piece of food you put in your mouth, the fact that you have a mom or have a dad, the fact that you get to come to church, the fact that you can read, the fact that you get to go play soccer, the fact that you can walk on your two legs, because they are gifts from God. And I need to realize them as gifts and not something that I am entitled to, because I was born naked, I'm going to go into the ground naked. Nothing that I have here on this world is something that I deserve, but they are all gifts. There are gifts from God that he has given us to enjoy, not to claim as rights. And because there are gifts that he has given me, I should respond with a thankfulness. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and then key in on 18 right here. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's close with this. This morning I was feeling a little disrespected about something. Some people had done something that just made me feel just really disrespected and frustrated. And I was like, I am entitled. I mean, shoot, I'm a good guy. I'm a pastor. I'm entitled to a little more respect than this. I just felt really disrespected in it because of this. And as I was driving here to work this driving here to church this morning, I just really felt convicted in the way that I felt entitled to being respected. I was like, they deserve, I deserve to be treated better than this. I just really felt disrespected. And the Lord really convicted me. He's like, no, Aaron, your respect that you get, whether your name is recognized or not, that's a gift from me. And I just stopped and I said, you're right, God, I am sorry. I have taken the gift and I've put it into rights. Lord, okay, I'm going to stop. And I just said, I'm stopping right now. And I'm praising you for all the things that you've given me. I'm praising you for your perfect plan in my life. And I just want to stop and worship you. And I just stopped and I thank God. And while I do the same thing in my life, things around me, claiming them as rights, and instead worship and thank the Lord. Let me pray for us. God, you have so richly blessed us. And because of that, it does make it hard for us to feel thankful and grateful for what you've done. But God, I just pray that we would have a renewed just sense of great thankfulness for what you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, for the physical things you've blessed us with here on earth. And we would just respond just with really worshipful and thankful and grateful hearts. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, got a couple questions for you. I know it's unfair. I tell you what you're supposed to do. Couple questions for you, and then we'll close with the song. So go.